Hey guys, welcome back to the Evan and Caitlin podcast, the podcast where, oh, what's that? What's that? Oh, we have a special breaking news announcement. Huh. Evan and Caitlin have outgrown their home and they're looking to move and they're house hunting right now? Wow, that's really exciting. Okay, back to you, Evan and Caitlin.
I'm so impressed by you. Look at that custom banner. Wow. Ah. Ooh, oh, I don't have words. That was so good.
Should
baby.
We also do the regular intro?
No.
That was it. Okay,
that was
perfect.
It.
I'm so excited. I have so much fun making these like little OBS little shenanigans.
That was great.
I can't wait to use that while we're streaming and stuff
I
too.
I know. Oh that my was gosh. Great. For anyone who's only listening, there was like an overlay and a background, a newsy background.
It was so fancy. Like, do you like the This Is News? This is
yes,
news.
Live.
This is news. Special report.
That's so great. I love it.
I've just been over here like secretly giggling. Caitlin's like, I hear you over there. What are you doing?
Yeah, I heard you.
Well, really exciting news, guys. We are searching for a new home. Mm-hmm. We have severely outgrown this. It's something that we've I realize we've kind of been like ignoring it / suppressing these feelings for a long time.
As one does.
And I think it's you know, we knew that we needed to kind of like make some changes in our life. Mm-hmm. So we intentionally reduced how many videos we had committed to. And then we just wanted to see what would be filled with that time. Because, you know, we've just been going and so we reduced our video output to 2 videos per month. And then as soon as that happened, like the first month, we're like, we need more space.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it kind of went down differently slightly to me because like we've toyed with doing we've had a few months in the past where we only did 2 videos a month. It's just the beginning of 2021 was where we very intentionally were like setting the schedule from the beginning of 2021 mm-hmm. forward. We are not going to accept more than 2 sponsorships per month, meaning yeah. we're only doing 2 videos per month because we normally make our videos based on like whatever we've committed to sponsors because we don't want to like break any agreements or anything like that. And I think we knew before that we needed another house.
Yeah.
I think it was just like a little surprising that literally as soon as we had the time that became like initial number one priority. But I think we've known. I feel like I've known for like 2 years at least.
Well, to give you some context, Caitlin likes to be a very neat person. She likes everything to have a place and for everything to be in that place. And, you know, when she was living alone in her own apartment before we started moving in together and everything, her apartment was tidy.
Mm. Immaculate.
Great. And when we moved into this house had more than enough space mm-hmm. for the 2 of us.
We had a whole room just devoted to a guest room.
Yeah, we had a whole guest room. And then this room was like a spare room.
Yeah.
Where we just like put stuff. This was kind of our junk room.
We used it for
miscellaneous.
Like wedding planning. We used it for like wedding planning when we were DIYing all of our wedding projects. And then when
yeah,
you started
crafting and stuff.
And
yeah.
when you started like working from home, we set up like a little office in here.
Yeah.
The place where our treadmills are, that's where I set up like a little computer for doing like some freelance graphic design on the side.
It was so cute and organized. Our entire house was like tidy. Nothing
and we had
was
room
like
to spare.
There wasn't just like there weren't just piles of stuff.
No piles.
Everywhere. And as we have used this location not only to live in, but also to run a full business from. That's just been a lot because most businesses have like a shipping and receiving department and offices and a filming set and like we're you know if we were running this as a business in mm-hmm. a businessy area we would have rooms for that and all of those functions have just been overlaid over our home
mm-hmm.
and we do like that. I mean, I like that our commute is a walk. I like that everything is right here and we can mix the two so well. Like we can go do a resin pour, then go cook dinner, and then
yeah.
you know, like
we prefer
mix things
that.
In these great ways. But we didn't buy this house with the intention of also running a full business from it, and
yeah.
and it's just overflown to a large degree.
I mean, also, it doesn't help that a big part of our business is making things.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes those things are small, but sometimes those things are like a full piece of furniture. Like, what do you do with a cat wheel? It's so big. You got to find a place to put that thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we just keep on making more things and it just keeps on filling up. And, you know, there's a lot of areas that you guys might expect are getting pretty full, like our garage. As mm-hmm. we get more equipment, the garage has gotten more full. You know, like sometimes we'll be doing like kind of planning for two projects at once. So we'll have the main set up and we'll have tables just laying around everywhere else so we can barely walk through the garage. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that you guys might have guessed that the garage was very full. But the place where we're at right now, this is our streaming desk, and right there, I mean, if I reached out a little, I mean, I'm exaggerating just a tiny bit, but I could probably touch our main desk from behind here.
Yeah.
This desk rolls forwards and backwards, so we have enough space in our office to do two desks. But this is a 12 by 12 room?
Yeah. Yeah, the room that we work out of is 12 by 12. We have two giant two-person desks. And not just desks, also like filming and lighting and recording equipment.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we have a green screen behind us. You're supposed to be far away, like farther away from your green screen. No, this is it. I'm touching it.
It's like a foot and a half behind my head.
Yeah. And so like this room where we spend so much of our time, we spend more time in here than in the garage workshop. It is one of the rooms that has, like, gotten the worst. It's also, like, it's just so full of stuff. It's such a pain to, like, you know, roll the whole desk back and forth and scooch our chairs around. And, like, if Evan is at the streaming desk prepping a stream and I'm in my spot, like, I can't back my chair away because he's had to roll the desk forward to get behind this one. Like, it's just, like, a whole thing.
And those are the two main business sides of things. You know, that's where we do our work. And it impedes us. It makes us less efficient.
There is one more like room that's been taken over by the business, and that's the guest room.
Oh.
Because that is also the 3D printer room, the camera equipment storage room, and just like the stuff we haven't been able, like technology and crafting supplies overflow room.
Yeah, and some of that is some personal stuff that we've kind of stashed in there too. Some is some personal,
you know. It's also where, like, when we do, like, a big art piece, but we don't have room for it on the walls yet, it goes in there, you know.
Well, I mean, like, I think that we are the type of people who like everything to have a place and for everything to be in the place. But, like, when you don't have enough places...
Yeah.
When we don't have enough closets, mm-hmm. and the storage areas.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to like really organize that stuff because we know that the best we can do is tidily stack it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to unstack it again soon.
Yeah, cuz there's our closet space, we have used it absolutely as efficiently as possible.
Mhm.
And all of our closets are full, and we live in an older house where the closets are very small, you know? Like, I think y'all have seen one of our closets in one of our videos, the closet in this room. That's the biggest closet we've got.
That's the biggest one. It's bigger than my closet or Caitlin's closet.
Yeah. It's literally the biggest we've got.
It's the biggest closet.
And so there's just not enough closets in this house, like, for all of our various stuff, and the business requires a lot of stuff. So there's just so many ways that we've outgrown the space.
Yeah, and we could be more efficient with our filming. We could be like, we could enjoy our office more. Like right now we keep the windows closed and everything in here because we want to be able to stream. And if we have this window that's right over here open, then it'll vary the lighting of our streaming, so we can't have the window open. So we just like are in this artificially lit room
all day
for the majority of our life. And there's just so many things where we can just really, really improve things if we like move to the next house. And plus, like, there's just like things that just affect, like, I think Caitlin's sanity a little bit more than mine. Yeah. Like our kitchen counter. You know, the place where we put the rainbow bench and the workout area? That area is just constantly full of, like, stuff that we've ordered and, like, mail and processing stuff. And, like, just it's just so full of stuff. stuff.
We honestly
all the time.
We need an area. I don't know if it would be like if we had a bigger laundry room slash mud room, or if we need like a small bedroom for this with just like giant tables. But we need like a processing area because we have to order so many supplies for projects, and we're just like constantly receiving.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes like we'll order all of these supplies that might take a long time, or maybe they're limited or what have you. So we probably have supplies for like 5 projects right now if we like thought about it and counted things out. I'm not sure when we're going to do them, honestly, because we kind of like whenever it's like time, we kind of like shuffle things around all the time. But we have a whole bunch of supplies for multiple projects often at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we need like staging, shipping, receiving. We never really ship anything out, but we need a receiving area.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're a business. I don't think it's unreasonable. It seems so strange to think, like, we need a shipping-receiving area in our home office area.
But I think because of the type of videos we make, we kind of do, you know?
I mean, and honestly, I think that, like, you know, maybe in that same room, that's where we'll keep all of our, like, cardboard boxes and stuff.
When our recycling bin is too full of boxes.
Because like right now, like there's the entryway, there's just full of cardboard boxes. I mean, it's just the whole house is overflowing. But those are some of the driving factors for like why I feel like when we started thinking about this, it was a lot more urgent than I kind of realized.
Yeah. Because we let ourselves, we finally let ourselves like fully acknowledge the problem.
Yeah. But actually we've been doing this process. We've been searching for homes actively for probably 2 months now.
Yeah. We started at the beginning of 2021.
Yeah.
Sometime in January, we started actively hunting online.
Mm-hmm.
We are, we've done 2 trips already, like actually looking at houses. And we like pack those full. Like when we say a trip, it's not like we go see 2. We see like 8 to 10 in 1 weekend.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of online hunting, a few, you know, a couple trips out.
But honestly, like it started with like a lot of research of like, you know, the areas and like brainstorming with me and Caitlin, like how many rooms do we need and like, you know, what do we need for this next house? So, like, we've put days and days and days and days and days into the whole house journey.
Yeah.
And it's been really good. I mean, it's interesting. It's like, you know, when we look at, like, you know, houses, we kind of have to look at our lives and think of our lives now and how we want them to be moving forward. And it's been really interesting that, like, you know, in our search for our next house, we have found ourselves. I mean, that's a little bit, you know, overly stating it. But I do think that it's been interesting that, like, you know, like that was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Should we... I don't think we've mentioned where we're looking.
Yeah. So we're kind of looking in a big area. I think that we love Houston. We really have enjoyed our time here, but it seems like most of our family groups are going to be more in the San Antonio, Austin, Hill Country, like swath, somewhere, you know, in there.
We already have
people throughout.
We already have some family there, and we have a lot of family members who are either in the process of moving there or are moving there in the near future. And so it just made sense if we were going to move towards that area. Plus we like Hill Country, Austin, San Antonio. Like, we've spent a lot of time there in the past. Like, it's not as humid. There's not hurricanes. Like, I mean, you know, it has its own, like, other, you know, any place has, like, stuff you got to deal with.
Yeah, and pluses downsides and minuses.
And plus but sides, but...
I think that the interesting thing is, like, Houston is just kind of, like, a little bit off to the side. If we live anywhere between Austin and San Antonio and the Hill Country, we can get to any of the other places a lot faster than from Houston.
Yeah, you know? It's so much closer.
I mean, Houston to San Antonio or Austin is like
three and a half hours.
From San Antonio to Austin is sometimes just like an hour depending on where you're going.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So it's everything is so much closer over there. You have access to two cities instead of one city and like all the small towns in between.
And honestly, like the main reason why we're moving out there is because that's where our family's going to be. And family is important. We love our families.
Yeah.
So it's great. And, you know, we haven't fully settled in on a place, but I guess we can kind of say what we're looking for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and I think one interesting thing in regards to like what we're looking for and location is, you know, we're in a very lucky position where we're not moving because like we had a job relocation or something like that, where there's like a set new location and you want to be within a certain, you know, time commute time to that spot. And you have to do it on a certain timeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we both moved a lot growing up, and it was because of our parents' job relocations. Mm-hmm. And so it's always like, you got to be there by a certain day, and you got to be in a certain area. And, you know, we have all this flexibility, which is great, but it also means that we've had to spend a lot more time, like, researching and really thinking about what do we want? Do we want to be in the city? Do we want to be in the country? Do we want, you know, like, all these various things. But yeah, in terms of what we're looking for.
I think one of the more surprising things is when we started, like, weighing out our priorities, one of the surprisingly highly weighted things was, like, proximity to, like, a ton of tasty food.
Yes. That was one of the things that we were evaluating, and we were like, we need
And both of our families were like really surprised. They're like, man, you really value like food. I'm like, yes.
We want to be like close enough to a variety of restaurants and like,
all sorts of different genres of restaurants too. Like all sorts of different varieties, you know?
So like that's like oddly high up there. We want, of course, like the practical goals of like we need more space in our house and we need more space in our workshop. We would like to have a bigger yard because we do, you know, filming in our backyard. And, you know, a bonus would be if it's like a little bit more private, because sometimes we do things that like maybe neighbors would question if they just overheard it.
It's on fire! It's on fire! Yeah! Shoot it! Shoot it! Shoot it!
Yeah, like we don't want to worry the neighbors. And so, you know, that would be like a nice thing. You know, I think there's kind of like, those are some of our like kind of practical goals. We also have like some more aspirational things that would be great bonuses of things that like, you know, we would just like to experience. Like, we've never had a pool. Mm-hmm. It'd be super cool to have a pool. We don't have to have. Yeah, I want a jacuzzi.
I need our hot tub. Generic term.
Yeah. But, like, you know, things like that. That would be, like, super cool. It's not a requirement. But, it, you know, we're kind of like, oh, what things do we want to try out? Or, like, you know, having, like, enough space in our house to, like, have, you know, a little bit more of a home gym. Because right now, our treadmills are in the breakfast nook of our house. Maybe not ideal. It's literally the, like,
well, but also it's open. Like, we have our treadmills in the breakfast nook. Then we do like, you know, weights and in, you know, stuff like that
in the living room. And we just move the coffee table out of the way. But yeah, like,
we bring the workout mats out and we put them back up every time and stuff. It's just reducing all those barriers to the things that we want to do.
Because like we want to work out more.
Or even like, you know, it'd be nice to live on like a little bit more land for just like scenery or something like that. Yeah,
like maybe we want to like some acreage or something.
Yeah, maybe I just want to like go out on our back porch and like sip coffee.
Or like go on a walk like around our yard and have a yard big enough to like go on a walk around it. I don't know.
Like a lot of these things are in conflict with each other too, is what we've realized. So it's like the more land you want, the farther away from the city you are, the farther away from all the tasty restaurants.
Yeah.
You
know?
So I mean like we've looked at places out in the middle of nowhere and we've looked at places right in the middle of cities. And like I don't know which one I'm leaning towards.
I don't know. And like you can't it's really hard to get all those things because that is super expensive if you want like a ton of land downtown, you know? Like
I mean, I don't even know if you can.
I don't even know if you can. I mean,
not
I'm sure,
showing up in our searches.
Yeah, well, we have the searches limited to a max cost, so yeah. Maybe if we lifted that, they exist.
maybe they exist for other types of people.
So that is something that, like, you know, we know we're going to have to make some sacrifices, and we don't really know, like, which end of things we're going to have to sacrifice on. Like, do we sacrifice on having a little bit more space? Do we sacrifice on being as close to the city as we're used to? You know, and like one thing that we thought about, and some of you guys saw our dream house streams where we like designed our dream house.
Yeah.
One thing we considered was, do we build new or do we buy something existing? And I think, you know, back before this started becoming more of a reality, we had thought, like, to get what we really want, we'll probably need to build it. You know, if we really want something that, like, works for our life and business, because, you know, not everyone, like, needs a workshop like we do that's, like, a filming set. Not everyone needs, like, a streaming room that's perfectly suited for streaming.
Yeah.
And so we thought, like, maybe we'll build.
That's what we were thinking of. But, like, I'm so glad that we're not doing that, because that we're leaning towards buying a house that exists right now.
Yeah.
One thing that we realized when we started looking at houses is we'll probably want to be able to sell the house that we build afterwards, just in case, you know, we need to,
just in case it's not our final home.
Just in case that's not our final home. And we don't want to build such specific things into it that we can't sell it. But there's so many things that we can do to make the house that we build much more sellable to other people. Like, you know, we want a big, huge office with lights, maybe a wet bar or something like that, but we'll just, like, market that and build it as a game room.
The reason for a wet bar is to have, like, coffee and tea.
Yeah.
Nope, we're not going to be, like, drunk editing.
No, yeah, like, you know, but also a lot of, like, game rooms might have a wet bar or something like that.
Well, and the reason that Evan is bringing that up is because we had just assumed our office would be in a spare bedroom, because that's, you know, what it is now. But then as we started looking at houses, sometimes houses, some of the houses we saw had, like, a game room type room that was bigger than a bedroom and had a little wet bar. And we started thinking, like, how nice would that be to be in a slightly bigger room and have, like, our coffee in the same room? That would be, like, so cool.
We spend the majority of our lives in here or in the workshop.
Yeah. So, you, like, know? We really want to prioritize those spaces.
I want like, plants. I want, like,
Fake plants.
And like, brightness and, like,
natural light
and everything. I think that'll really, like, help us. Mm-hmm. It'll be good for us.
Yeah.
Or things like, you know, when I initially sketched up the workshop, it was just this, like, massive warehouse. But, like, one thing that we can do, we can build it as, like, a, like, 6-car garage or something like that. And then that way it's understandable to other people. Like, that, oh, I can use more garage space. Everyone can use more garage space.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, there's all of these things that we realize we could, like, you know, when we eventually do build our house, that we need to do it this way instead of the way we were originally thinking. And then that made us realize we aren't ready to build, like, our own house. We don't know what we need. We don't really know how much we need to expand everything because we're so cramped right now. If we try to, like, build a house, I think we're just going to potentially miss the mark. And I'd be so sad if we, like, built a house wrong.
Yeah, because it's so much time and effort.
So much time and effort and money.
And money, yeah. It's just, like, everything. And
everything.
And, yeah, we just realized, like, we don't know if, like, what's the ideal size for our workshop? You know, do we need a 6-car garage? Do we need a 2,000-square-foot warehouse, you know? Or do we need, like, a 4-car garage? Like, is that fine? Like, we literally don't know just because we're in such a small, cramped space now. It's hard to imagine, like, what we need to grow into.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we could just overshoot everything. I don't want to waste space. I don't want to, like, have to spend more on AC or it takes longer to cool or, like, like we have to deal with more echo, you know? It's like there's a lot of downsides
to pluses
and minuses,
big.
You know?
Yeah.
And other thing is that, like, as we were looking at houses with maybe only a 3-car garage, we're like, what if we need more filming space? Oh, we can actually, like, make a bedroom studio for, like, art filming or something like that. And then I was like, oh, wait, that might be good for live streams of our art.
Yeah, and like, oh, is that more ideal?
Is that more ideal to have, you know, an indoor space instead of a garage space?
Because a lot of our art stuff needs to be kept inside anyway.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's just so many things as we've been looking at houses mm-hmm. made us realize that we don't fully know what we want. We know enough to like get another house, to get a new house. Like, we know enough to have that starting point, but we don't know enough to put in that effort of like building a dream house. Now, there's still a chance that like we just don't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't find anything by a certain point, we might consider like working with a builder, you know, but I don't think it would be like to build that ultimate super customized dream house. It'd probably be like, hey, can you, like, here's how many rooms we need. Here's the space we need. Here's some stuff we like. Like, what of your existing, you know, designs or models, like, work with that? And then can we tweak a few things? Like, it would probably be, like, a little bit more of a normal house, not, like, the crazy dream house.
Well, and also, since we live in Houston and we're looking at building 3.5 hours away, driving back and forth to, like, check on tile choices and handle pulls and, you know, all these things that we would like to be involved with is just so unfeasible. So I think we're really leaning towards buying instead of building for this next house,
mm-hmm.
just because we found compromise. You know, we found houses that are good, a huge improvement, and that I think that we'd be happy with.
Yeah.
I think another thing that's really interesting is, what do you think about a fixer-upper versus a move-in ready home? Because I think that's something that I thought I was in one camp on, and I think that I'm finding I'm in another camp now.
I'm kind of feeling the same. So so I like I'm not totally sure why, but I feel like part of my like identity ever since getting my very first apartment, but mm-hmm. then even strengthened when we got this house, is being mm-hmm. able to like take a house that needs a little bit of love and like have the vision to transform it. And I very much enjoy seeing that progress and feeling like, yeah, I got to customize this the way that like, I wanted to, instead of like paying extra money for somebody else's choices,
mm-hmm.
you know, and paying extra money just because it's already like finished in a newer, nicer style.
Yeah. And also, like, as people who have a channel where we have done renovation type stuff, I definitely thought that we were going to be like thinking, like looking for fixer-upper places that like we could, you know, get a great deal on and like flip it or something like that. And you know, but then as we've gone on the search, we've been falling from that fixer-upper side more and more and more towards like a more move-in ready home.
Yeah.
And do you want to talk about that process a little bit? Because it surprised me.
It surprised me.
A lot. And I kind of went through, like, you know, I mentioned earlier in this podcast how, you know, the search for the next house has been, like, a journey of self, too. Like, this is part of it. Like, I identified as someone who would, like, buy a house and fix it up. But...
So, I think I'll preface it by saying, like, there's a big scale between, like, 100% perfectly move-in ready and a gut job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a big scale. And I think that, like, the change that I've noticed in us is just kind of, like, shifting our comfort level on that scale. Because I think at first we were like, you know, we're cool, like, redoing floors, redoing a kitchen, redoing bathrooms, adding a workshop. But then we started thinking about how long some of these things will take, and also like, because we know this probably won't be a forever home or anything, like this will probably be a transition home. Now, that transition could be like 5 to 10 years, like it could still be a long-term home, but we want something that like we're not putting so much money into renovations that like we'll never get that out. And we started realizing like how expensive a lot of these big renovations are, you know, because in our house the biggest things we did were like replacing the floors mm-hmm. and, you know, getting the roof replaced. And the roof, we were able to like back that out of the cost of the house and like, you know, ask for the price a little bit lower. And so I wasn't really aware of like some of the cost of some of these things, because like it's a lot of it we can do, but a lot of it is far beyond our skill level, and we would have to hire out help, and it can just be a lot of time and money.
I think for
do something extensive.
I think for me, the moment when I realized that I'm shifting more towards the scale of move-in ready, and by move-in ready, I think that the place where we're looking at is like, we can go ahead and repaint this and replace the backsplash and maybe repaint, you know, cabinets or all sorts of like replace light fixtures, all sorts of things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we found a few houses. We're like, okay, that'd be the bones are good, but like we'll probably have to tear up all of the floors, redo the entire kitchen, redo every single bathroom, tear down that wall, stuff like that. There's a house that like we were like, I was thinking like, should we put it in an offer? But it required all of that work. And then we started thinking through the logistics of, okay, how are we going to film that while living here? And
because logistically it makes so much more sense to do some of that stuff before we move in. Mm-hmm. So we would be living here.
Cause like redoing your kitchen can take a month or two. If you're doing it yourself, maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're paying for a lot of help, maybe still on the whole month side.
Or like if you have to do all the floors in the house, you want to do that before you move in, because like where do you put your stuff?
Yeah.
If all the floors, literally all the floors are being redone.
Or repainting the entire house. Or yeah. You know, you could do it one room at a time and you could do it one bathroom at a time.
But it's just so much more efficient to do it like before you move in and all at once. And then we were like, so if we want to be the most efficient with it, then we need to be living in our current house while it all happens, and driving back and forth to like film things and work on things would be such a nightmare.
Because like I think it's easier and less easy doing these things when it is can be double dipped with our job, because like, you know, we can use that time to get content also, but then also we need to be there and film it and document it and wrap it up into a story, mm-hmm. which means we need to be there, but we live here. And
it's not just us going back and forth. It's us and a bunch of camera equipment and like tools and things.
Yeah. Oh, like, man.
It's so something that would require enough work that it would just make logistical sense to do it before we move causes so many other logistical problems if we want to document it or film mm-hmm. it at all. And so I think what we realized is like we're still like totally cool with doing some renovations, mm-hmm. but we want a house that we can move into first, and like we're not suffering on the like efficiency side by doing the renovations when we move in. Like we'd suffer a lot if we moved in and then did the floors. Like, because you just have to move all your stuff out again. Like,
and you can do it room by room by room, but it's very disruptive. And like, that it'd be hard to get entertaining content from us, like, doing like the bedroom shuffle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like from how, like moving all of our stuff from one room to another to another to another.
Yeah.
You know?
And so stuff, a house that like its only changes can be easily done after we move in would be ideal. So that means probably no gut jobs, probably nothing with like major imminent big renovations required. Yeah. More like cosmetic things like paint colors, light fixtures, backsplashes, swapping out a counter, like little mini where we can do like little like a bathroom makeover that we just kind of like can do with our own skill set, or maybe like that combined with hiring out a couple small parts, you know, that we can do in our own time. And it's not like something that has to be done before we move in.
And like, you know, if we're not relying on it maybe as much, like, you know, we can like, you know, if something goes wrong with the video or there's a big hold up, we're like, okay, well, this video isn't going to be done in time. Let's instead go out to our workshop and film like something that can be a little bit more, you know, fast to film and
exactly.
edit. You know what I mean?
But like we won't have the additional time capacity to do that if we're having to drive back and forth, and we're losing so many hours and hours every week just to driving. Then you don't have that extra time to like switch gears to a smaller project if you hit delays.
Yeah. So that was our surprising revelation around move-in ready versus fixer-upper. You know, we're definitely a lot more leaning towards the move-in ready, which isn't something that we thought of at all. But yeah. I think another thing that's really interesting is just, I kind of thought, okay, we have a budget. Let's just like find the right house and buy it and move there. I don't know. I think I was a little bit like naive because like you did the first house search and you put in so much time and effort to find this this wonderful, wonderful home that we have loved and that has been great to us, but we've outgrown. But like, I kind of like, I think I just went into it naive. I was like, okay, we have this budget. Let's just buy the house. But it's just like, it's just surprising that it just doesn't, it just doesn't exist out there on the market. And there are a lot of things that have popped up that are like close on one end or on the other. Like, you know, it's just,
yeah,
I thought it's a lot harder than I thought it would be. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do think with this house that we're currently living in, I mean, I probably looked at like 30 to 50 houses. Like I looked at a lot this one.
But also since we were here, the barrier to seeing houses was a lot lower. So yeah. you just see houses like,
I just see houses like every weekend. I just see a handful with our realtor until we found the one. But there were also like, our needs were less specific then, you know, because we weren't running a business out of our house. So there's a lot more to see that fit our criteria.
Yeah.
This one or this move is a lot harder because our needs are a lot more specific now. And so I did go into it thinking it would be a lot harder than finding this house.
Oh.
I thought it would be significantly harder. Just because, you know, we have more specific needs.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And like we mentioned earlier, it's interesting that, like, a lot of the specific needs that we want are kind of counterintuitive. And you know, like, you know, one excludes another. And I think, honestly, the biggest thing that kicks us in the butt is, like, our desire to be around a broad variety of food.
Yeah, if we didn't care about being close to, like, restaurants.
Oh, it would just be, like, far be out like, there and, like, you know, like, in the country, get a bunch of land and, like,
and then you can do whatever you want. Yeah, it's cheaper.
And you get more bang for your buck. You know, I think that's the main solution. But, like, we are stubborn about, like, I'm getting mouth-watery thinking about all the food that I love. And, like, we don't eat a ton and we don't eat all the time. We probably just
eat out?
We eat out a lot.
Well, you said we don't eat all the time. I was like, we eat every day.
No, it's like we generally kind of do like two bigger meals, maybe sometimes three meals.
Oh, like in a day. Yeah, we eat like two meals a day.
And we often will split a meal. We'll go out and we'll split one serving of a delicious thing. We don't like eating a lot of volume. We just like eating
variety.
I think that's the biggest, strangest thing about us.
Yeah. Well, and we cook a decent amount too, but you know, since starting the business, we probably cook less than we used to. I think part of that is because like we're, you know, we work from home, we live at home, so you know, before
going out is also it was our break.
Yeah, before you know quarantine stuff, that was like a chance for us to get out of the house, was just to like go grab lunch somewhere.
And it's hard to work when you're out. And you know, eating. It's like if one of us is cooking, the other one of us is like, "Ooh, I can review this edit, or I can go ahead and send some emails off and queue them all up, and then after we can review all the drafts and send them."
Yeah, yeah. So it's like I know maybe it sounds kind of silly, but like restaurants are like our break,
mini vacations.
Yeah. We don't get many breaks throughout the day, so that's like you know our little break to just go have lunch out somewhere or whatever, you know. Yeah. So I do think that those two things specifically are probably that you know that our desire for more space,
yep,
and land and not breaking a budget versus our desire to be close to restaurants. So we're probably going to have to sacrifice on one of those two opposing sides.
I think the restaurants are the thing that throws the wrench into everything.
Yeah.
I didn't even think I realized that until right now.
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
Because we can get everything we want if we just go farther out.
Yeah, there is a house that we're like, oh, that house, is great. That's a great, that's pretty much like what we were looking for to a certain degree, but it was just way out there.
There's been a few, honestly. Yeah.
I don't want to drive an hour just to like go to the melting pot.
Don't drive 30 minutes to the closest Chipotle.
and like, you know, I think that to clarify, like, you know, in Houston is like the densest food area I have ever been. It's like you like throw a stone and like in any direction and there's like a ton of great restaurants mm-hmm. in any direction.
And if you're like in town in San Antonio or in Austin, like yeah. they have a ton of good restaurants too. Yeah. But it's just hard to find. It's hard to get that closeness mm-hmm. and have more space and not break a budget.
Yeah, like I mean, we're used to like within 10 minutes having every single restaurant that we want and like every single variety, like Middle Eastern or like, you know, all sorts of the various Asian foods or Indian foods or just like, you know, great barbecues or like every single junk food of every type.
Yes.
In all directions.
Yeah.
And we're completely spoiled. And we know that yeah. living here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a spectrum and just trying to find that out. Speaking of which, should we talk about our spreadsheet?
Yeah.
Our weighted spreadsheet of awesome calculation.
Yes. So because we were realizing like, you know, there's all these different things that we're trying to balance and it's hard to really weigh like what's more important. Like mm-hmm. how important is being close to restaurants? How important is having more garage space or more land? How important is having it be more on the move-in ready side versus the fixer-upper side.
Yeah.
So we came up with a spreadsheet and we put in all the factors that yeah. we were looking at and we weighted them.
Yeah. So everything gets a score from 1 to 10, but that 1 to 10 like is weighted differently. Like, you know, like a less important thing would have a weight of 1. So the total points it could be is 0 to 10. That's a, 10 yeah. is the max amount of points.
But, so like having a pool, for example, because that's like a bonus thing. Maybe yeah. that gets like a weight of 1.
Yeah.
And, you know, the places can be rated.
But like the house itself, we kind of gave it like a total of like almost 100 points or more between like, you know, the aesthetics, the size, the...
Renovations required. Like workshop potential...
100, you know, yeah, like...
I don't know what the points are, but like each of those things got, like, a higher weight. Like, you know, having less renovations, or, like, the renovations required might have, like, a rate of 5 potential points.
No,
a weight of 5.
So that 0 to 10 is actually 0 to 50.
Yeah, exactly. So if that makes sense. So everything is, like, weighted.
Yeah.
And that has helped...
Yeah, because then you can, like, grade that house. You enter in all of its information, you run it through the weights, and it spits out a number to compare this house to this house. So it's mm-hmm. like, if this house is great here but bad here, and this house is pretty good across the board, that might win against the house that's really great at this one thing but poor everywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. So it really helped us, like, quantify things in our heads a little bit more. And we also put our current house on there and rated it because we were like... okay, we're probably going to have to sacrifice and, you know, go down on the, like, restaurant closest, yeah. for example. But, like, you know, we don't want to go down from our current house's score in too many categories.
Well, I also think that like, when I was thinking of this system and my dad suggested some sort of a spreadsheet, but, like, so thank you, Dad, for that suggestion. But, like, the thing that threw me off is just, like... how do we know how to rate things if there's no control?
Yeah.
And I think adding our house as the control, like giving this a 5 for our house, that contextualizes
everything else.
Mm-hmm. And that to me just like made everything click.
And as we've seen more houses, even if they are ones that we were like, we know this is a no, we'll still often add them to the spreadsheet because it helps us. You know, again, it helps give us like a baseline. Like, what does a 5 mean versus a 10 versus a 0? You know, having those other houses in there.
Yeah. So, what do you think, like, between looking online and looking in person, what do you enjoy more?
I honestly, I love looking online and in person. The only thing I dislike is the drive.
Yeah.
Because it's so much work to not only make that drive, but also, you know, because we have to leave town to do this, we have to work really hard before a trip to, like, work ahead. And then when we get back from the trip, we have to work really hard to make up for lost time. So we've been extra stressed. Because of all the extra work required. And I think if we didn't have to drive so far, then we could, you know, squeeze in a house trip here and a house trip there. And it would just be so much easier. You know, we wouldn't lose like 7 to 8 hours of driving, of just drive time in a weekend. But I honestly love the process of looking online and looking in person. Like, I heckin' love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
like,
fun.
Caitlin, like, in the morning, she's like, ooh,
it's my new favorite houses, thing to do. I make my coffee and I look at like my emails for new houses, you know?
And I enjoy it too.
I think you get a little bit more stress looking at it.
I get a little bit more stressed and I get a little bit more like worn down faster. Mm-hmm. My stamina isn't as high.
Yeah. I really like it. So I've kind of probably taken a little captain. Bit more of the lead.
You're the captain.
Yeah, on looking. But then like I'll go through them. I'll show you any potentials. Like, I have two that popped up.
But also, like, I think that I'm the control, too. Because, like, you know, I think that, like, when you find something or something, like, you know, you might be biased or something. And then I feel bad sometimes, like, oh, no, let's be real about this or what have you.
I think it's like, you know, anything that's obvious, this would never work, I just nix immediately.
Yeah.
But then there's sometimes potentials. And sometimes, like, so I'll show you, like, anything that has the slight potential of maybe working.
Yeah.
But sometimes my reason for showing you something isn't necessarily because like I think it's an option, but it's like, okay, here's a great test. I want to gauge your feelings on this.
Yeah.
Here's a house that like is, you know, the aesthetics are great, the size is great, everything is great, but it's far from restaurants. What are your feelings on this? Like seeing that this exists. Or like, here's the thing that like fits all the criteria. It's close to restaurants and it's got land, but it was built in 1950.
Yeah.
And you know, there's going to be some issues. What are your like, what's your feeling? Cause it's one thing to like theorize that, but it's different when it exists and it's you're looking at it and it's an actual option.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'll show you things like that just to help us like gauge our feelings and talk through those things.
Yeah.
You know,
I think another interesting thing about seeing houses in person. So Caitlin and I have a system. We like go into the house and Caitlin goes around and takes pictures and I video it. And like, you know, just so we can look back on it. And that's been really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, we like record our thoughts about the house right after we leave it.
As soon as we get in the car and we're driving to the next one.
So that like it doesn't like spoil or like get better or worse in our memories.
Well, especially if you're seeing like 8 houses in a day, things kind of blur together.
You're like,
so
what was what?
You know? What was what? What was my initial reaction? And then if there's anything that like we think could be more of a contender, sometimes we'll see it a second time. Like we always reserve a day in the trip.
Yep.
Like to see something a second time. And like, cause oftentimes our first run through the houses, we're looking at everything in a very positive light. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, this could work for this. This could work for that. Like we're giving everything the benefit of the doubt. And if it makes the cut to the visiting it a second time, and we've only visited, I think, 3 houses a secondary time. Mm-hmm. On that second trip, we go in super critical. We're looking for like little details that would show like, oh, you know, those cabinets are actually like a little bit more worn than I thought. Like that means repainting them would require a lot more work
or like,
than we
you know,
initially thought.
Like, you know, like we don't like the cabinets, but also like one house had like, you know, cabinets that we didn't like, but they were like real wood, which we thought was a fancy thing, but also there were cracks and holes in them
and
stuff like that, and knots. And like painting that is going to be much harder than you know, one without all the knots and everything.
Yeah. Or there might be something where we're like, like we're really enamored with, you know, the lot or something, but then we look at the house more critically and we're like, you know, that like the master bathroom is a little small. It would probably work for us, but resale is going to be really tough to resell this or, you know, whatever the thing is. And we're pulling very specific examples from specific houses we saw, but that's been our system of like documenting each and every house, and then like our follow up on the ones that we think might be final contenders.
Yeah. I think one thing that's really, really interesting is our very first trip, the house that we thought was going to be the best, we were actually slightly let down on. Mm-hmm. And one house that we just threw in there because we had a little bit of extra time and we were like, okay, we'll just see this house. That was like such a high contender. We almost like put in an offer on it.
Yep.
And that like threw me through a loop.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
Like visiting houses, I was just very surprised.
It's so, well, there's so much more that you don't get online. Like yeah. the vibe of the area.
Vibe.
like how the arrangement of rooms actually feels in real life. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things are like build quality and stuff. A lot mm-hmm. of those details you can't really tell until you're there in person and you can look at things up close. Like yeah. one house we visited, one of the first houses, had actually been a flip house. And in the photos, it looked decent. And we got there in person and we were like, before we even knew it was a flip house, we were like, this was a quick flip.
This was a quick flip.
Like, we would definitely find like...
Issues.
Like yeah. behind the quickly flipped facade, there would be issues.
And that was a house that we were so excited to see. Mm-hmm. And that is now like at the bottom of our spreadsheet.
Yeah, once put it in the spreadsheet, it was like, I think it actually scored lower than our current house because of like all the things that we couldn't tell in the online photos, but we could tell when we got there. So yeah, we've gone through a lot of like mindset shifts, which I think has just further confirmed that like we weren't ready to build a dream house because our idea of what we want has shifted so much just, you know, in seeing the houses we've seen so far.
Yeah. And I think that like, you know, another weird thing that we do when we visit houses, you know, we're looking at it from a more knowledgeable standpoint now. We've gone into our attic so many times.
We know the issues we've had with this house.
We have done plumbing work. We've done electrical work. We've done all of that. So when we visit houses, I'm like, can I go into the attic? And the realtor there is like, can you? And I'm like, yeah, is there a ladder nearby that I can borrow? And I like pull like a ladder out of someone's closet. And like, you know, I'm just doing one specific example of a house. But like, you know, this one didn't have just like a pull downstairs. So I like got out their ladder. I like set it up. I moved their like access panel out of the way.
But it also wasn't tall enough. So you couldn't like get your head there. So you just held up your phone and like took a phone video.
Yeah. And like, you know, I was like, okay, what type of plumbing do they have? Is it galvanized or copper? Is it PEX? Or like, you know, and like how well are the AC ducts held up? What's the status of the AC ducts? You know, like, how is the electrical run? Like, there's all these things that we look, you know, at while we house hunt that most people probably don't. Yeah. And the realtors are probably like, these are weirdos.
Yeah. And I think like, that's mostly for attic space because it's like, where else are you seeing, can you see like the guts of the home?
Well, but also, the guts of the home tells you a lot about how it was built and how it was maintained. How careful was the builder? How thoughtful was the builder? And how well has this house been maintained? Because those are like huge indicators of like, because like, you know, you can touch up a house with like a fresh thing of paint and it looks like pretty nice and new. But like under the skin, what's it like under the skin?
Yes.
But there's other weird things that we do too. Like, you know, hey, where is the cable run into the house? And like, you know, is there a room that we can turn into a server room? And, you know, well, all sorts of like, weird things like that.
A weird thing is, maybe this isn't weird, but,
I know,
like,
what you're saying.
When we, like, when, because we don't really have time to watch shows during our normal day, so we watch our shows with a meal.
Yeah.
So like when we're eating dinner, we're like, ooh, let's put on our show. And we can see our living room TV from our dining table. Mm-hmm. So that's our like break time, you know? And so so many houses, like because of where the breakfast nook and or dining room are, don't even get me started on like
formal dining rooms.
Yeah, like, why do you need two areas? Anyways.
Now, some people, if they're social people and they have dinner parties all the
time.
But
why just not have the one big one?
I don't know.
I understand why you need a bigger space and not just a small breakfast nook, but, like, what are the point of breakfast nooks?
What
I'm getting at is, like, when we're in houses, we're like, how are we going to watch our shows with dinner?
Yeah.
Does one of the eating areas face the living room TV? And if not, is there a wall near the eating area where we can put, like, a small TV?
It's important. It's a big, you know? It's something that we do. Every day.
Yeah. Or like
that's
another thing,
everyday part of our life that we know that's important to us.
Another kind of everyday thing is like we go on a lot of walks and the hill country is hilly.
Yeah.
And like a lot of areas, you know, some have like bigger, more mature oaks, but like some parts of the hill country have like low cedars where you're not really going to get shade. And so walking around like neighborhoods and saying like, can we just walk straight out of our house and go on a walk?
Yeah.
Or are we on a big slope?
Yeah. And sometimes when we're looking in cities, you like leave your house and you're on like a road.
Yeah. You're on like a road.
You know, so like there isn't like, you know, in terms of walkability, there's, you can't just say like, oh, the city is better or the country is better or an in-between is better. It really totally depends on that specific neighborhood.
And like where your house is on the, in the neighborhood.
And how old is your neighborhood? Is it a brand new development with tiny little saplings? Or is it like a mature neighborhood with big trees? But then that means you have older homes and potentially bad plumbing and wiring and stuff. Yep. So again, trade-offs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But we definitely go into houses with like a system.
Yeah. So one thing that I wanted to ask you on the podcast is, since you have been the lead captain in both searches for this home and for the home that we're looking for next, what are your thoughts on like this search versus the last search? Like which one was like, I know you said this one's more difficult, but also like which one is more fun? Which one is like, which one do you have more confidence in and all sorts of things?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, this one is more difficult, but mostly from the traveling issue. And like at the time of our last house hunt, I was freelancing full time. And so I could just like adjust my projects down and I wasn't working like full time hours anyway with the freelance. So it was just a lot easier to like squeeze it in. So this one has been a lot more, of a struggle from the time side. Hey, Jube, thank you for joining us. but I do feel so much more confident in kind of like what we were talking about and knowing like the specifics of what we want, because this house was our first house. We didn't really know.
We just knew that we wanted a generic house of a certain size.
Yeah. We just wanted a house of a certain size that was like, you know, that's kind of what it was.
Good value.
Yeah.
We wanted a good value.
Yeah. Yeah. We wanted like a good value in a certain size, in a certain area. And, you know, so this one I do feel more confident. I don't know if I feel more excited, because getting your first house is very exciting.
Yeah.
Like right now, I am super excited. So I am also very excited. but it's hard to like compare that, because I think...
Which one was it easier to be patient with? Neither?
Neither. probably easier for the first one, because I think with this one, we've outgrown this house more than we had outgrown our apartment.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so I think it's harder to be patient with this.
I just
search.
Think of the apartment with like the like my like brown man couch and stuff like that. It's been a journey.
Couch.
It's been a journey.
Yeah. but you know, I also feel like I'm going into this house with a more reasonable expectation of like what things are within our skill level to fix up. Like we went into our current house thinking that we were gonna like redo the floors ourselves, and no, that will not happen. We thought like we'd redo all these like bathroom changes, and we also, there's a lot of things where if we had known that we were gonna be in this house for as long as we were, and we had the budget at the time to do more to the house.
Oh, we would have done so much.
Yeah. There's a lot more we would have done. But it's like when we first bought the house, we didn't really have, like, we just didn't feel justified putting funds into it. We didn't know how long we'd be here. Like, you know, we kind of like picked the main thing we wanted to do, which is like the floors.
Yep.
We hired that out. We did all the light fixtures and some painting and stuff ourselves. And you know, that made a big difference. But I think I'm going into this next one, with a more realistic view of like what we'll actually tackle and the perspective of like, if there's something we really want to change and we would regret it, like 5+ years into the house, yep. thinking like, if we just changed this in the beginning, we would have been enjoying it for so long.
Just do it.
Yeah. Just do it.
If you can.
If you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And so I think like going into it with that perspective and that experience, I think, I do feel more a lot more confident going into
yeah.
this next house.
Yeah. All right. So in conclusion, what has surprised us so far about the search? Any like broad thoughts and conclusions about like this house hunt journey we've been on?
Yeah. I think the biggest surprise for me is how much my thoughts have changed in such a small period of time.
Ooh, yeah. I just can't believe it. Every trip out there, I feel like my brain has grown.
And every time we have like our lead content, we have like our tier one and our tier two houses. And every single time the favorites end up being some of the tier twos and the tier ones end up kind of like disappointing a little bit,
yeah.
you know, and we learn something new that kind of shifts how we weigh things in the chart or shifts our perspective.
Yeah.
Every single time. And I, or even things like building versus buying. Like, yeah. I think we really thought that like we'd build, yeah. you know, because that's how we get something more custom. And
yeah, yeah.
Nope. We want something sooner than that. We don't want to wait another year plus.
Like, for example, the point that we made earlier about like, we want our office to be big and bright and a happy place with enough space for us. That's something that we only realized like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because we just kind of assumed during our last
trip or something.
We just kind of assumed it would just be in a spare bedroom.
And I'm like, no, I'm not as okay with that anymore.
Yeah. It's like, wait, game rooms and bonus rooms and houses exist, and those can be bigger, and those can have like a coffee bar.
Yeah.
Those can have room for like, you know, if we wanted a little couch or something. So like Drew yeah. can hang out in yeah. there on like a like comfy spot.
Yeah.
Not that I don't love her being in my lap. I do love that too. But like, you know, it'd be cool if she had multiple spots. Yeah. In the room where we hang out most. Yeah,
it is surprising how much, you know, we've grown and changed as we've progressed. I think one of the biggest surprises to me, and I think that you said that it didn't hit you as much, but like for me, it really surprised me once we started how impatient I was to like get to the new place. Because like it's tough because it's such a big, important choice for us. But at the same time, any of the houses we've considered are a huge immediate upgrade from what we're at right now, yeah. where we're at right now. So any of them are a huge improvement, but with the purchase being as big as it is, it is important to like take the time to yeah. like optimize your choice and get the best you can.
And it's interesting because, you know, we started looking around January, which is not peak season, but it's March now, and so we're mm-hmm. entering peak season. So the good thing is a lot more houses should theoretically be popping up over the next couple months. But the bad thing is they're also going to be getting bought up a lot mm-hmm. faster. And so on one hand, it's like if you find some houses and they're pretty good, but like you know so many more are going to be popping up soon, kind of makes you want to like just wait to see what else pops up. But at the same time, it's like, you know, on the flip side, if you find something that's pretty good and you can make it work, it could be gone in like a day. There's been so many houses that like we'll schedule a trip out and we send our realtor, you know, the houses we're interested in. And before we get out there, houses are bought. That's happened like to like six houses,
yeah,
like five or six houses. And so it really is something where we simultaneously feel pressure. Talking about it
makes me feel anxious.
We feel pressure to move quickly if something like has the potential to work. But we also feel like, well, what if we're just rushing into it? Because there's so many more houses that should theoretically be popping up.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
I think my last big surprise about this whole process has been how much time this just sucks from our life. You know, we really tried to open up our schedule with the, you know, reducing our how many main channel videos we produce. And then all of that time just got sucked up and more by the house search. Like, we've spent days just like, I think there's been like a whole day where we weren't even driving and looking at houses. We just like talked about houses all day and had like a day long meeting about it.
You know? In the beginning, especially when we really didn't have any starting points, and we didn't even know like where really to look other than the generic statement of like San Antonio, Austin, Hill Country.
Yeah. And then the trips out there, but then also hours every day, and you know, like even like applying for a home loan and everything. I forgot how long that took, and just gathering all the documents, and you know, it's just, there's just so many logistics into it.
Yeah.
We have put like weeks of time into this.
Yeah.
Over the past couple months.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that we have been able to maintain a pretty good pace. You know, I feel like we're still like delivering a good amount of content, like multiple streams a week, you know, like every other week, main channel videos, et cetera, et cetera.
Occasional
podcast. Honestly, like, you know, side tangent here. I've really been liking like just doing podcasts when we have something that we want to talk about in podcast form. And doing it on that schedule.
I know we kind of like vaguely mentioned it a couple podcasts ago, or maybe it was just in a post
on
the podcast page that we were gonna kind of break from our schedule and just post podcast when we have stuff to talk about. And a big reason for that is the house search. Like it just takes time.
But I think
we have to like cut things here and there.
Yeah. But I think that's been the biggest surprise for me. It's just like, wow.
Takes a lot of time.
But I think that's a good place to wrap the house search. I think that we can maybe do like, you know, I have some ideas of like kind of follow-ups for various other things. I think that we'll save those for another podcast.
Yeah.
Which means that it's time for Thing of the Week.
Yeah. So,
I think my thing of the week, I just have to say, tiny aluminum extrusions. Guys, I love aluminum extrusions in general. And there's this set that I'll link down below. And it's just like ultra tiny, like a little bit thicker than like a pen or pencil, aluminum beams. And I've used them in the past for a few different things. And honestly, I bought them kind of on like a, I'm going to use this one day type vibe feeling I got. And I knew that they'd like come in handy for something. But like I've just been using them more and more, and on the past project that went live probably at about the same time, where we try to make clear wood, you know, I'm going to try not to spoil anything in case you haven't watched it. But wow, I use them a ton. I made like at least three different fixtures that really came in handy during this project, just like in minutes, just sitting down and like pulling everything out and just building things and just.
It's great for little jigs and fixtures. I think you've also used them in the past to make like a like temporary laptop stand and stuff like that.
Yeah, temporary laptop stand. Yeah. And I also use them as our frame for the underwater streaming setup.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really come in handy.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you've like, I know you've talked about them before. I'm not sure if they've been a thing of the week before, but even if they have, I feel like they're deserving of a double thing of the week because they pulled their weight.
They pulled their weight this week. They saved me so much time, and I don't know how I would have done it otherwise. I guess just like cut dowels and glued them together. Really quick.
But then you gotta like wait, and things aren't right angles, and like it's not rigid and blah.
Yeah, blah.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about joint strength. No, I just want metal. Yeah. I want to screw them together.
And then because of the modularity, when you're done with that jig, you can take it apart and use it for something else.
Yeah,
can't do that with dowels.
The first jig I made for the clear wood project was the like hanging rack, closed drying line, and then I took that apart and I used those same parts to build the next one.
Yeah,
so there's no wasted material. You just reconfigure it again and again and again.
Yeah, so we'll have a link to those in the description.
So cool.
My thing of the week. I thought I'd do something a little bit different. Because we usually pick either like a physical thing or like a piece of content or something, or like a new, like a creator we've been liking. But I thought I'd do something different and share my guac recipe as my thing of the week.
Are you going to write it in the description too?
I'll write it in the description too. Yeah. But it's also pretty easy. So yeah. If you don't want to look at the description, you can kind of like conceptualize it. And I thought of it because like we make guac like every week, mm-hmm. probably. Like I make a lot of guac. And I have a very simple recipe that like, in my humble opinion, is like better than restaurant stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. And the key is enough lime and salt, because I think that's where like everybody else messes up. Like all the restaurants. So my guac recipe, very simple. This is enough for two people. Mm-hmm. You get one large avocado. You get one serrano pepper. You get half of a lime. And you do red onion, like a couple slices of red onion chopped really finely. And so that's like the amounts. And then salt to taste. So it's like very simple amounts. One avocado, one serrano pepper, a couple slices of onion, half of a lime, salt to taste. And you just mix it all together. But I think like, I feel like no one does enough lime.
Yeah, like you get the lime like crusher.
Yeah, you get the lime crusher and you yeah. like juice the crap. You get all the juice out of that half lime because you yeah. need that like tartness to balance everything. You can
it's
add
like bright.
Yeah, I think it brightens it's super bright. It,
you know,
you can add more serrano peppers if you want. I like serranos over jalapenos because there's less like pith, and I include the seeds. But sometimes in jalapenos there's more pith, like the white stuff, mm-hmm. and so I like serranos because it's more of like a higher proportion of like the outside of. Yeah. of the pepper, and it just seems to be like the right amount. But I've also like I've minimized it to that amount of things because there's not really like that much waste of like additional ingredients that you got to figure out how to that are like hard to use in other recipes. Like you'll have extra onion, but like you use onion in so many recipes. So it's like I never have to like waste that onion. And usually when I'm getting stuff to make guac, I'm getting enough to make like guac twice that week, so I'll use like the other half of the lime. So, like, that doesn't get wasted. Because I really don't like wasting food. And I used to put cilantro in my guac, which I think is super tasty. Like, if you are going to be using cilantro and other stuff that week, mm-hmm. Like, add cilantro to taste as well, because I think it's really tasty. But, like, it just pained me to always, like, get cilantro for guac, but you can only buy, like, a bunch, like, a bundle of cilantro. And, like, I can never finish a thing of cilantro. And I guess I could, like, freeze it into, like, herb cubes and stuff. But, like, that's not how I use cilantro. I use it fresh in recipes. And so, like, freezing it doesn't really work for the recipes I have. And so, like...
And honestly, that was a time-consuming
thing. It was my least favorite part.
Pull all the leaves, chop it finely, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's my least favorite. It's, like, the slowest part of the process. The rest is all pretty fast.
And it was the least necessary yeah. for the main impact.
And we tried it because, you know, some people like cilantro tastes like soap to them. It's mm-hmm. so, like your brother is one of those people where it yeah. just like tastes like soap. So I tried it the first time making it when they were coming over. And I was like, I don't really miss it that much. So I feel like I have minimized it to like exactly what you need without mm-hmm. extras. Like I don't put tomato in there because I don't think it really adds very much. And again, that's just like another thing you got to chop, and then you just have like a bunch of extra tomato because yeah. I only make guac for like one sitting, so it's just enough for
fresh
two people
every
fresh every so time good. Because you know avocado browns. So anyways, the recipe will be in the description.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
Let us know if you make it
yeah, yeah. it's like my favorite. Don't be afraid of the salt.
It's really cute when you get tagged lime. On like you know in like Twitter or Instagram and stuff of people like making like you know the magic broccoli
yeah.
or
like the banana muffins.
Oh, the banana muffins. Yeah. I wish I had some banana muffins. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. Really appreciate you guys being here and kind of like it's really fun like bringing you in on this big part of our journey. You know, this is such a big step for us. So appreciate you guys being here with us. If you want to get in on a prank, we have an ongoing prank where I think that it's worked a few times. Like we've gotten some tags and a few comments that like people are finding our podcast on like a podcast browser. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Evan and Kenny podcast, what's that about? And they're just, they listen to it and they're confused. That's the prank that we're putting on people.
We want your 5-star ratings to boost our podcast enough that it shows up to just random people who don't seek it out because they already know who we are. So we just want random people to stumble upon it and be like, who are these people? Why does anyone want to listen to them?
Yeah. And I'm confused. And you can just be vague in your reviews. Like make obscure promises or something like that. Like, make like,
this podcast changed my life. This is my cat's favorite podcast.
Yeah, like I think it's just funny. I don't know. It's a long con. It's like a long it's prank. A long con. You know? But like I think that it's starting to work. Mm-hmm. So if
keep
you want to be
5-star reviews rolling in.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. When we know we've gotten, like, when someone rates us a 1-star review.
That's when we know it's working.
That's when we know it's really working.
That's the person that's like, I was promised this would change my life.
And it didn't change my life. But you guys don't give any 0 stars because, like, then you're throwing off the prank.
Yeah, you're throwing off the prank.
All right, guys. Hope you're having a great day and look forward to seeing you in the next content.
Bye.
Bye. Wait. I had a plan for this.
What, for like fading us out?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I'll just do something in post.